This weekend is the 4th of July. So we're going to ask you a couple questions. We like to quiz you to see how much you know and remember of your history. We've already talked about it, so what exactly are we celebrating this weekend? Our Declaration of Independence.
From who?
From the British rule, that's right. Who wrote the majority of the Declaration of Independence?
Yep, Thomas Jefferson.
How many people signed the Declaration of Independence?
More than that, double at least. 56.
Whose signature is most notable and remembered on the Declaration of Independence?
That's right.
Who was the oldest person to sign the Declaration of Independence?
He's on your penny.
No, he isn't.
No, no he's not. Benjamin Franklin.
Try your $100 bill. It's worth about a penny now, isn't it? Okay, now here comes the hard part. Luke, can you answer this? What do the first few lines of the Declaration of Independence say? How does it start out?
87 years ago, our forefathers brought to this nation.
No, Luke, that's not right.
I think I can get it. Just a second. A few years ago, we went to Washington, D.C. and visited the place where they keep the Declaration of Independence. Someone said, you can never steal it.
We have one of the originals.
This looks like an original, doesn't it?
So, We the People is actually part of the preamble to the Constitution, and people often think that's the first words of the Declaration of Independence, but it isn't. This is how it actually begins.
When in the course of human events, it became necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with one another, and to assure among the powers of the earth a separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and the laws of God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation.
Then it goes on to say, we hold these truths to be evident that all men are created equal. Anyway, we want to urge you all this weekend to take time to read over the Declaration of Independence, see what it really says, and see what our freedoms our country has fought to maintain. In honor of the 4th of July, we're going to read the words to the Star-Spangled Banner.
Oh, say, can you see, by the dawn's early light, what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars, through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets' red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there.
Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner still wave? Or the land of the free and the home of the brave? On the shore dimly seen through the mist of the deep, where the foe's haughty host in dread silent reposes, what is that which the breeze or the towering steep, as it fitfully blows, half conceals, half discloses? Now it catches the gleam of the morning's first beam, in full glory reflected, now shines on the stream. 'Tis the star-spangled banner, O long may it wave, o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave.
And where is the band that so valiantly swore that the havoc of war and the battle's confusion, a home and a country would leave us no more? Their blood has washed out their foul footsteps' pollution. No refuge could save the hireling and slave, but the terror of flight or the gloom of the grave.
And the star-spangled banner in triumph doth wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. Oh, thus be it ever, where free men shall stand between their loved homes and the war's desolation. Blessed with victory and peace, may our heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must, for our cause is it just, and this be our motto, in God is our trust. And the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave.
This was the original Star Spangled Banner written by Francis Scott Key, and that's how it sounded. How many stars were in the flag when this was written? 13. And how are they represented on the flag? In a circle, yes.
And do any of you know where this song was actually written? Francis Scott Key was in the harbor with a man on a British ship, and during the night they could see the battle taking place over on the mainland, and they were waiting to see who was going to win, the British or the Americans. And when the dawn broke through the early morning light, he could see the American flag waving in the breeze, and that's where this song came from.
Have you ever wondered what happened to the 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence? 5 signers were captured by the British as traitors and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons serving in the Revolutionary Army, and another 2 had sons captured. 9 of the 56 fought and died from wounds or hardships of the Revolutionary War. They signed and they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor.
What kind of men were they? 24 were lawyers and jurists. 11 were merchants. 9 were farmers and large plantation owners. Men of means, well educated. But they signed the Declaration of Independence knowing full well death could be the cost if they were captured. Carter Braxton of Virginia, a wealthy planter and trader, saw his ships swept from the seas by the British Navy. He sold his homes and properties to pay his debts, and he died in rags.
Thomas McKean was so hounded by the British that he was forced to move his family almost constantly. He served in the Congress without pay, and his family was kept in hiding. His possessions were taken from him, and poverty was his reward. Vandals or soldiers looted the property of Dillery, Hall, Clymer, Walton, Gwinnett, Hayward, Rutledge, and Middleton.
At the Battle of Yorktown, Thomas Nelson Jr. noted that the British General Cornwallis had taken over his home for his headquarters. He quietly urged General George Washington to open fire. The home was destroyed and Nelson was bankrupt. Francis Lewis had his homes and property destroyed. The enemy jailed his wife, and she died within a few months.
John Hart was driven from his wife's bedside as she was dying. Their 13 children fled for their lives. His fields and his grist mill were laid to waste. For more than a year, he lived in forests and caves, returning home to find his wife dead and his children vanished. A few weeks later, he died from exhaustion and a broken heart. Norris and Livingston suffered similar fate.
Such were the stories and sacrifices of the American Revolution. They were not wild-eyed, rabble-rousing ruffians. They were soft-spoken men of means and education. They had security, but they valued liberty more. Standing tall, straight, and unwavering, they pledged for the support of this declaration with firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor.
They gave you and me a free and independent America. The history books never told you a lot about what happened in the Revolutionary War. We didn't just fight the British. We were British subjects at the time, and we fought our own government. Some of us take these liberties so much for granted, but we shouldn't. So we take a few minutes of this year while enjoying your 4th of July holiday and silently thank these patriots. It's not too much to ask for the price they paid.
So we now know why we celebrate the 4th of July, but have you ever thought about why, as a Christian, you should celebrate your freedom? Do you remember the story of the rich young ruler who came to Jesus and asked what he needed to do to obtain eternal life? Jesus told him he needed to sell everything and give it to the poor and come follow him. In other words, he needed to make a commitment to Jesus. The young man turned and left because it was too costly for him. He just couldn't do it. He didn't want to make a commitment. He wanted to be free, to choose what he wanted to do. Do you think he was happy as he left? No, he was very sad. Was Jesus trying to make the rest of his life miserable by asking him to sell all that he had? No, quite the opposite. Jesus knew that the abundant life can't be bought with money. He knew the young man loved money more than God, and he needed to make a commitment to leave that behind and instead to follow Jesus. Then he would have true freedom.
Commitment does come with a price tag, a responsibility, and we should think long and hard before we make commitments. However, we should not fear commitment, as it is often the doorway to finding the freedom you are looking to find. Jesus said, "The truth will set you free." What does he mean? It is only through knowing Jesus and accepting his rules for life we can have true happiness and peace of mind. Even Jesus committed to God when he prayed in Gethsemane, "Not my will, but thine be done." You probably heard the expression, "There's no such thing as a free lunch," and that is usually true except for the free salvation we receive from Jesus. He paid a huge price for us and offers it to us freely because he already paid the price. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." John 3:16.
So this 4th of July, as we celebrate our country's freedom, let's not forget the true freedom we should celebrate daily, our spiritual freedom, the freedom from Satan and the sin of this world, the freedom to love and to be loved, the freedom to escape death and sadness. Jesus has told us there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous who need not repent. Luke 15:7. One day America and the rest of the planet will be gone, and we will have a new heaven and a new earth. Revelation 21:1. Choose Christ today. Make a commitment to follow him. Then you will know what true freedom is.